This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald. We are the hosts of Kelly and Company. Thanks for being with us. Check out the Kelly and Company podcast. You can find us using your favorite podcatcher to simply subscribe. You can listen to the show in segment form. Maybe you have that favorite segment you want to check out and go back and just check that out from today's show. No problem. Just subscribe and you can do so whenever you want. You can also listen to the complete Kelly and Company podcast. We toss on an audio vanity card. Rumya's providing that today. And you can listen to so much more with the show in its complete form. Maybe you're in the midst of doing something else. Just start it and away you go. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher to the Kelly and Company podcast. Well, Rum, a few things I'd like to get some more clarification on involving the sport of hockey. Particularly, we'll get into a little bit of junior hockey talk. So let's welcome back, as we talk a little hockey news, with our friend and returning guest to the program, NHL draft analyst Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet. Hello, Sammy. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Happy New Year. Wonderful to have you back as usual. Cos, I want to talk first. Let's get the heaviest thing out of the way first. We have some apparent racism instances that have been going on in the hockey world a little bit. We also see that the hockey world is trying to push back. What's going on?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a cut and dry issue here that we're looking at. I mean, the most recent one is still under investigation, and Jacob Panetta apparently and allegedly made a racist gesture towards Jordan Subban in the East Coast Hockey League, and right away everything blew up and he was suspended, and obviously Jordan was very upset. And Jacob came on later and said, this is something that I've done before, in terms of using like a bodybuilder, a weightlifter's type of gesture to indicate sarcastically, hey, you're so strong, you're so tough, you're in the weight room type of thing, and used video to prove that that's a gesture he had used previously with a non-racialized player. Now, having said all that, he does deserve a chance to defend himself. And Jordan Subban and PK Subban and the entire black hockey playing community deserves a say in what they feel was unjust. So I think for this particular incident that there's still an investigation to be had. And so before I rush to judgment on exactly what that is, I'd like to see the investigation completed. Now, there's been other incidences. And Boko Imama, who's a player that I got to watch in junior, was just an absolute delight to watch, playing with Bay Como and later playing with the St. John Sea Dogs, is an awesome, awesome young man and a budding, you know, a wannabe NHL player. And you know, he's had to endure things even back in his junior days that that no one should have to endure. And those incidences, I think, were a lot more, prominent or more easily definable than the most recent incident in the East Coast Hockey League. So no place in the game for that. The hockey world is trying to push back, and rightfully so. And I guess if there's anything positive that we can take away, is that these incidences no longer go unnoticed.
That's right.
That they're out there, and they're out there in social media, and now people can try and exact change because of that, and people are being held accountable for their actions. And so that's a positive part of the step forward, as small as it may be.
Sam, I find this the hardest thing, because obviously when we talk racist remarks, cut and dry, as you said right off the top, black and white, they don't do it. Don't think it. Don't get involved in that. Why would you ever? But we also laugh because we know guys get out there talking smack, whether it's basketball, you know, hockey. And I know we're going to get to where, what is enough smack? What is smack, what is okay and not? And I don't know how you define that. I mean, if somebody's going to be offended if you say something like, you know, your mama dresses you funny, you know, things like that used to be said. We are going to get to where something that everybody kind of gets a giggle of, and the refs, all right, guys, separate as part of the sport of hockey or basketball or whatever. You know, again, the racism, it's cut and dry. The other stuff, boy, it's so murky.
It is. And the reason why we have chirping or trash talking or talking smack, as you refer to, in professional sport, and I guess even in amateur sport for that matter, is for those players to try and get a competitive advantage over their opposition. And so, again, I think the cultural shift we're experiencing is a good one, because that line now is being scaled back and scaled back. And so, you know, one thing that you got two hockey players on the ice. One guy's a kind of a career minor league guy who's been up and down from the American League. One guy's an established NHL player, and the minor league guy is cracking at the established NHL player. And the NHL player says, "Hey, buddy, look at your paycheck," or, "Hey, you're just a minor leaguer anyways." I think that creates competitive advantage. I don't think that's going over the line. When it gets into personal things, and obviously into, you know, race, gender, and things of a personal nature, now you're starting to
discriminatory.
And I say that the race, gender stuff is, there's like
no room.
There is
no room.
Crossing a line. That's a no fly zone. But when some of the other stuff personally comes into it, there is a line that has to be drawn. But this cultural shift, Kelly, I think now that people are being held accountable for racist remarks, I hope it goes a long way in scaling everything back.
Me too.
To where some things are acceptable. Hey, my paycheck's bigger than yours. Hey, I have more points than you do. Hey, you're a career minor leaguer. That type of stuff that revolves around the game in and of itself, I think is acceptable stuff. And I think everything else thereafter is definitely up for discretion.
Yep. Let your play do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Sam, can we talk about the latest news on the canceled junior tournament? Any word on rescheduling that or...
Give a try again,
Sam.
We're here still. Rumi had asked the question. I don't know if you heard her. You want to give a try?
I was just asking about the the canceled junior tournament. Any news on rescheduling it, or what's that? What's the stance on that right now?
Hi, Rumi. Sorry, I apologize. I didn't hear you previously, but I did on that question. And as it stands right now, I think there's still a lot of discussion about that happening. But it really becomes complicated as you move into the summer months and try and find a window that doesn't conflict with NHL playoffs, that doesn't conflict with spring sports in terms of putting it on TV, that doesn't conflict with the NHL draft. And maybe teams view players a little bit differently once they've been drafted for those who are participating in the event that have yet to be drafted. And there might be other NHL teams that say, hey, even though we have a drafted player there, it's a little bit too close to camp. We don't want to risk that player getting injured and have him not be able to participate in camp. So there are a lot of different complicated matters that have to be discussed. And obviously the timing of the event in and of itself, it would be the main concern. But all of those other things factor in as well. And the thing we can't forget, as we move on in time, players get older. And as we know it, it's a U20, meaning an under-20 tournament. So would there be concessions made for players who are already on rosters in December, who now are technically a year older because the calendar's turned? So that's another part of the complicated matters that everyone's sorting through.
Wow. So much to think about. Okay, well, we'll keep tuned to that. In Ontario, we're seeing games continue with no crowds. How is junior hockey weathering the pandemic at this point?
I think, especially in Ontario, they're going to get to a point where the inability to create revenue is going to be problematic. And I think, like everybody else, the understanding is that when we went into this level 2 lockdown, however you want to phrase it, that at some point we'd get back around the 1st of February into seeing people back in buildings, which is going to be allowed, I think, at 500, and then slowly ramping it up to full capacity somewhere around the middle of March. Now, for OHL teams, that doesn't leave a lot of time left in the calendar to recap revenues lost. Having said that, the ability to play games, even when teams are getting paused and being shut down for certain amounts of time, has been helpful to the development of the players themselves. But for the overall sustainability and the health of the league, they have to get back to a point where they're at full potential to generate revenue, or else I worry about the long-term viability of the league.
Okay. Let's talk about who we should be watching for in Canadian junior hockey across Canada at the moment. Any names you want to throw out?
Well, team-wise, I mean, you know, the London Knights are always kicking around. The Kamloops Blazers are a really good team. Winnipeg, Edmonton, out west, and then you're looking at St. John out east. There's other teams such as Gatineau that I think are going to be really good. The Acadie Bathurst Teton have kind of climbed the ladder once again. But individually, in terms of players, you know, it is interesting because, you know, we see the news today, like Mason McTavish, who was on Canada's World Junior team, who came back to Peterborough, had a hat trick in his first game, and then was traded over to Hamilton, is a guy now who's going to play for Canada at the Olympics. So that's a really cool thing to see, that a junior player is going to have that opportunity. The same thing, Remy, can be said about Owen Power. And now, he's not a part of the junior leagues in Canada per se, but as a guy who we saw at the World Juniors, who plays at the University of Michigan, will also get that opportunity to represent Canada at the Olympics. So I think it's exciting that when we look at junior aged players, a couple of them getting this golden opportunity to be able to represent their country in the Olympics.
That's what it felt like. We were so, with not being able to see the tournament completed, there's so many players in Canada, U.S., around the world that play over here and come from their countries to see these amazing players. Just phenomenal. Sam, before we lose you to time, of course, fighting against us, the men's Olympic roster has officially being announced today, but apparently this was leaked yesterday. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, I think the IIHF made a bit of a boo-boo, and probably due to the time change where they're located, I want to say, in Switzerland. And so it got out there a little ahead of the game. Maybe it was a timed tweet, but the roster, as it was leaked yesterday, is indeed the roster as it stands today that has been announced by Canada. So kind of an interesting little faux pas that occurred there, but nonetheless, what we're seeing is the opportunity for players to represent their country that wouldn't have had this opportunity had NHL players be allowed. There are some familiar names. Most of them, not all of them, do have some level of NHL experience under their belt. So that's, there will be some familiarity for sure. And then there will be others who have really made their mark playing overseas and playing in Europe, who will be on this team, who maybe you have not heard of since junior, or maybe have not heard of at all. So it's a great collection. I'm a big fan of the coaching staff there, and it's kind of neat to see. And I'm all for it. It's a whole other debate, but NHL players participating in the Olympics is not really my bag. I think it's more meant for this type of player, and so I'm happy for the guys that have been selected.
I think it's always been that balance. It's a nice balance if you have across the world. The non, if you want to say professional, or the non-NHL, the people who are paid to make a living, obviously the teams love it, and because you're not risking the players that have these big salaries that they're spending so much money on. But I think it's just a fairer way, and like you said, opportunity. And this has been that ongoing conversation, Sam, for years.
It has, and it will continue. And I know the NHL players, especially the high-level ones, the Connor McDavid's, the Steven Stamkos's, who haven't had that opportunity to participate in the Olympics, would really, really cherish that opportunity. And it'd be kind of neat to see all those guys participate in the best-on-best event. But I think with what we have around the world, there is the there's the groundswell out there to say, hey, we can put a World Cup together where we can still play best on best and not have it inside the Olympics in the middle of an NHL season, and allow those players who we're seeing right now being selected to play in the Olympics that opportunity as kind of their career goal, or their maybe end game, if you will.
Yeah. Cause, thanks for making time for us. Always love having you on board.
Yeah, my pleasure, Cal Ramia. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Sam Cosentino, our friend, joining us on the program as he returns to the show and always makes some time for us to talk a little hockey. Coming up in a couple of moments as we phase over to book conversation, folks, it's time for our monthly book club. We review Hidden Sea by Gregory Maguire with the recommender of the book, who will jump in here after the break, Karen McGee. Rami and I return in 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Red Sale, inviting you to download the latest episode of My Life in Books, where internationally acclaimed authors discuss their lives, their work, and three books that have resonated with them. That's My Life in Books, available wherever you get your AMI podcasts.